What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to taste the flavoriest flavor to ever flavor? Snapple is ridiculously flavorful. And you can uncap a Snapple real fat with every bottle. Like, cows produce more milk when they listen to music. Come on, leave the ridiculousness to Snapple. And grab one of your favorites that pack a punch. Explore all of the delicious flavors at Snapple.com.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're rushing to buy tickets to a concert that all your friends are going to. Picture yourself now, crowd surfing to the front, being invited onto the stage, backstage the world tour, and before you know it, you're dancing in Tokyo. Wait, what? Three tickets left? It's a good thing your saved payment details autofill quickly and securely. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Forever Dog.
All right, guys. Is there anyone you would want to change places with?
Woo! Anyone?
Anybody?
At all?
Anybody?
Period?
I think it should be alive because I feel like you
like
want to.
Like me. For me.
Wow. That's not really how I feel about myself at all. Okay.
but I feel like James is mad excited. John's like, no. I love my life. James, who would you?
Okay, let's see. We got Will Smith. Yeah, okay, I would do that. I would do that change. But like, can I pick a time period, Will Smith?
Yeah, you can specify whatever particulars you want.
Okay, all right, yeah, like Will Smith, like just not 90s, early 2000s Will Smith.
So this is Will Smith after Men in Black, but before, let's say, I Am Legend.
Yeah, maybe like exactly that period of time, Will Smith.
But he still was just...
Can I just stay there forever?
And he could just do whatever he wants. He's like, can I just stay there forever?
Oh, man, I would love that.
Yeah, I mean, like, in terms of, like, taking somebody else's lot in life, like, taking their money, taking their house, taking their car, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
taking their job. I mean,
Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber. Can I get Justin Bieber that real quick?
I don't want to be that person, but I do want to like,
take
his stuff.
I want to be able to sing and dance and like.
Well, Will sings and dances.
Yeah, but
he's singing away. He sang Arabian Nights.
Never had a friend like me.
Can I sing like Justin Bieber though? Get that falsetto?
I don't know. Man.
Sure.
Is there somebody that you brought the question?
I mean, there is. I mean, Will Smith is great, but I want to be Batman.
You can't. That's a fiction.
I want to be Batman.
I'm just going to say.
Ray, like, just looked away. Right. Look, we didn't specify the rules.
I don't know.
We didn't specify the rules. Right. I'm saying, think about it like this, okay? Think
about we didn't specify the rules.
We didn't specify the rules, man.
Well,
I didn't specify the rules. I said, any person, the guy be alive.
Okay, fair enough. Actually, real quick, before we, the like air is blowing on me. Do you mind if we trade places?
You didn't even say.
It's trading places. It's trading places. It's not
Why you say it like, would you mind?
Do you mind trading places?
Also, what air?
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
No, but screw it.
No, wait, hold on. I'm being serious. Just pause it right now. The air is blowing on me. Do you mind trading places?
There's no air.
Hold on for a moment. Bray, excuse me. Sorry, excuse the noise. We were trading places.
First off, I'm mad at both of y'all. Because Braylock keeps pointing to the corner, and my dumb ass keeps looking like, what air?
The air, man. Is the air blowing on me?
No, is that on?
You don't feel it. That's why.
Gerard, look out. Gerard, hold on. Here we go. Just all right. Can you move over there?
No, I'm not moving. I stay in the same seat.
Gerard and I, we're trading places.
All right,
everybody pause your podcast. We're trading places.
No, we're not. Oh, I hate this.
Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock.
James III.
Gerard Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
happened to Black Man Can't Jump in Hollywood?
Hollywood City.
Yeah, I was in Viet Cong. I was in Viet Cong at Agent Orange. My name was Agent Orange. They called me. I didn't know which one I was going to do. I just threw that one out there. It was Agent Orange. They called me Agent Orange. Why is he doing the Stevie Wonder?
I was a Green Beret, but then I came down from the sky, and I was like,
"It's a miracle! It's a miracle!"
Oh, it's so good.
I can see. I can see. I can stand.
Oh man! What did he say? Merry New Year! I'm not gonna talk about the movie. I'm just gonna be quoting the whole
time. Merry New Year. Merry New Year.
Merry New Year. And then he goes, Happy New Year.
No. Yeah. Oh my goodness. It was good.
For those of you who are listening for the first time, this incredible voice is Jonathan Braylock.
Why y'all got? Do I have to start doing a thing for this now?
You got to do a thing. We all
have to
do a thing.
I'm just telling the listeners that the amazing voice they're listening to at the current moment is Jonathan Braylock.
Wow.
No one can see. After you say that, you just wanted to be like, now you.
This is Gerard Milligan.
And my name's James the Third.
Nice. Thank cool. You. We got things in Gerardo's. Yeah. So.
Yo, I feel like the starts of the podcast does not
listen,
start off.
Listen, we are a film review podcast, okay?
Yes.
We review films of leading Black actors. Mm-hmm. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Yup.
Oh. We do.
Yup. That's what we do. Okay, when you cut on Black Men Can't Jump, all right, we talk about people of color. And if not, that's not the podcast
that
we
do. A different one.
You listen to the wrong podcast. But if they talk about people of color, women, diversity in Hollywood, you at the right podcast, because that's what we do on this podcast. Yeah.
Cool.
Also, that black dude in this movie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all he said.
I know.
And then
I love
his
that guy.
Next scene, that's all he said.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that.
Man.
And today we are reviewing the film Trading Places.
Yeah. Yes.
Starring Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy.
And
Jamie Lee Curtis.
And
Jamie Lee Curtis. Oh. What? Jamie Lee Curtis.
Bring it down.
Jamie Lee. What
this movie came
Jamie
out
Lee?
In the year. What year
was it?
1983.
83.
It's the year before Ghostbusters.
Wow. 80s were a good time for comedy.
They really were.
This also was directed by John Landis, who's a very terrible person.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
Have we talked about that already?
Yeah, I think he did. I don't think we talked about it. Didn't he kill a guy? Or
yeah,
what?
That's what Dan.
Like, no, but he did.
Yeah,
like,
apparently, he took away a lot of safety precautions for this one movie, and it's the guy died on set.
What was the movie?
I don't know. It's like a military movie. I remember it was like explosions, and the guy died, and then no one went to jail.
Yeah, nobody went to jail.
That's what we were told. To be a rich white dude, right?
I know. This movie got 86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That makes sense.
Let's see. How much did this movie make? It made $90.4 million.
Wow, that's not bad for the 80s in a comedy.
Yeah.
And this is...
cost $15
million. Wow. And this is like... I'm reading a thing right now. They were like... originally it was supposed to be Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. And it was going to be called Black and White. Fuck, John Landis deaf. This is an asshole thing to say, though. Unfortunately, Richard Pryor set himself on fire, so he couldn't do it. And Eddie Murphy was suggested because the previews for 48 Hours were so good, and Eddie tested so well that they showed an early preview of the movie to John Landis, who said they probably have to get this guy. He's going to be this kid is going to be a star, are the exact words.
Yeah. That makes sense. Smart man.
I guess to say what the actual plot of the movie is, is that you have a man who is Dan Aykroyd, who is a He's not Wall Street because they're in Philly.
Yeah.
But he is doing like trading, like stock trading, buying and trading. And he's very rich and lives a great life. And then you have Eddie Murphy, who's seems as if he's homeless and, you know, he's got no money, no job, you know, getting in trouble with the cops. And then these two rich white people are like, let's make a bet that if you took away the things that this person have and you gave those things to this person, then that person will do really well and this person will do really badly. It's nature versus nurture.
But isn't that such an interesting concept, though? Like, when you talk about kids not having resources, like, you know, in certain urban areas versus, like, kids in the suburbs, and it's like, oh, yeah, what would happen if these kids did have the same amount of books, the same amount of experience with technology, the same amount of education? Like, would they be better off, you know?
Very.
It's such an interesting
there's an interesting social experiment question in there. And so they just do it, and then the comedy ensues.
And they do it for a buck.
That's their usual bet.
$1.
That's the part of the joke.
$1.
All right. Shall we do initial thoughts?
Yes. Yo, I think this is my first time seeing this movie its entirety.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, I think it's my first time seeing it in its entirety. I think I've definitely seen, like, actually, you know what? To be honest, I don't remember seeing anything besides Eddie Murphy during the homeless, like, I can see, I feel like that's the only bit I remember, that and him being the African guy on the train. So maybe my first time seeing it all the way through. And I liked it. The thing is, and I mean this in the best way, is I like this movie a lot, but I also hate this movie at the same time just because of the subject matter. Because the subject matter to me is like, I feel like, oh, somewhere rich white men have done this. Like, in my mind, it's like watching the movie, like, this feels like a rich white man thing. And it bothers me in such a way where it's like, the movie's great, but also just makes me really mad. I thought, like, Dan Aykroyd played that pompous guy so well. And I did love that Eddie, honestly, adapted real quick. Like, this dude was really good at investing. He was really good at stocks. Like, I liked that he came back with the plan at the end. You know, I do like that he had some type of urgency and not just like, oh, man, they tried to swindle us. What do we do?
Right.
You know, like, I'm happy he was also, like, leading the charge. And, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was really good. Jamie Lee Curtis is funny. Also very beautiful. I feel like I've rarely seen her this young before. I don't think I've seen any of her earlier work except for Halloween.
Right.
She's
a young girl.
It's just a funny thing to say. I've rarely seen her this young.
Young like,
well, not just
she was only
young
that young.
She was in this.
In that year.
No, it's like I just never had seen. I had never seen.
It's weird that she doesn't get. No, I shut up. She's trying doing the young thing again.
Shut up. I just didn't see any of her work really besides Halloween. She's like,
Halloween is earlier than this.
Oh, sorry, that's the 70s.
Yeah, it's before this.
Yeah, before this.
But like,
Halloween, she's like a high schooler almost.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, I just enjoyed it. I mean, I thought it was good. Honestly, I will say this,
or
though.
College kid,
no. I hope this isn't controversial. I thought it would be funnier because it felt like a real movie that had funny moments in it to me. Mm-hmm. Where it felt like once the swap happened, funny things were happening, but it wasn't about the jokes anymore. It's about like the social commentary that was happening in the movie, which I kind of enjoyed. I kind of enjoyed that, like, it had jokes up top, kind of had jokes sprinkled throughout, but it wasn't like, oh, it's a bunch of jokes per minute. It was more about like, oh, this is a fucked up situation. Look how crazy this is. So,
all right.
And Eddie crushed it.
Yeah. I had seen this movie a bunch. So it was fun to watch it within the context of this podcast because I started sort of overly questioning. Like, one of the things I wasn't sure if Gerard was going to say this, but was like, are they trying to say that, like, all this, obviously the people that they trade places with is a black guy and a white guy, and there is like that one black dude at Duke and Duke that like just works there, but like the other Duke is just like so racist, and they don't like they don't really go into it, with the exception of the fact that like how Eddie is ultimately a good person, you know. And so I was like confused as to whether or not I should just overanalyze this or if I should just take it for what it is and has been for me. Eddie's super, super funny. Dan Aykroyd, super funny.
So funny.
And like, it was really fun to watch in this context and think about like, how, you know, all it took was him paying attention to the stuff for him to get good at it, right? And like, and you know, hearing people that are in finance talk about like it's nothing to it. You just have to be aware, you know. I mean, obviously, there's more to it than that, but like, it's cool that like, or like, even thinking about like Pursuit of Happiness, where he like doesn't have experience in that job, and then now he's where he is and who he is.
That's
right?
True.
And so like that, it was cool to watch. I have seen the ending of this a million times. So like from the Santa moment to the end. And it is still super funny. Like that for me is when it picks up again and starts to get like heavy on the jokes again, like right. Just how drunk he is and how like so in the stock world Eddie is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I love that turn and that transition. And then I just have to Eddie Murphy is so cool in this. I've talked about this before about I think I've said it on the podcast. There's a scene in this when they're getting ready, where they're getting ready to like go in and just stun on them at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Dan is combing his hair, and then Eddie just pulls out a pick and just starts picking.
But he doesn't know what to do at first.
And then he decides to pick. And it's the only example of someone picking their hair that I had as a kid was just this moment.
Oh wow.
This movie meant a lot to me, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, man. I guess this is probably the first time I saw this movie, like the rated R version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I've always saw it on like TV. Yeah, man, I do like this movie. It's funny, but man, some of these things don't age well.
No.
This movie does not age well, I have to say. There was just certain moments where I was just like, oh my God. And even the commentary that they're making, it's still being made from a place of like a little too, it's a little too reductive. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like, yeah, it's like, first of all, yes, if you gave some people money, their lot in life would transform. But I didn't like that they were trying to say, like, if you gave black people money, then they would look at other poor people and go, like, and then be like, no, you got it. Like, then they would become racist or they would become, you know, like, again. And I was like, all right. I don't know about that. Like, that's a nice little thing you trying to pat yourselves on the back and be like, really, we're not that. We're not, you know. But I mean, there are some really funny moments of this movie. I mean, this is an 80s comedy, so misogyny abounds.
I mean, it's just...
Oh, my gosh.
It's just very rampant. Like,
the F word is all throughout this movie.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of homophobia. And then there's also just gratuitous nudity.
Which at one point I was like,
why? I was like, literally there's a part where Jamie Lee Curtis like takes off her pants and her shirt. And
For no reason.
The scene would have been exactly the same if she just got into, like, with the clothes that she was wearing, got into bed and cuddled him. It would have been the exact same thing. But instead, she takes off her pants and shirt. And I was just like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, I know why. So we could see it, but.
but why?
But why? Yeah.
I mean, they also had, like, the random women at the party at Eddie's house who just were dancing. I was like, I guess. But this is the 80s when almost every movie had a topless.
I remember when I first saw that as an adult, and I was like, what even is any of this? Like, it's so, it is entirely pointless.
And then, of course, we have a scene with Dan Aykroyd in blackface.
Which I don't understand.
Which is so dumb. It's like, I'm like watching it, I was like, so my man in 1983 was wearing blackface in a scene where... It makes no sense that he would wear blackface because it's so obvious that he's not black. Like you wear blackface if you want to get caught. And
no,
he's
doing, not thinking about
he's
the
not
fact.
Even just doing blackface. He's doing a Jamaican accent and smoking.
You're not thinking
it's
about the fact.
It's so racist.
No, but Clarence Beeks. He would have known him. He would have known what he looked like.
Yo, makes no sense.
That was the quick fix for
they couldn't put a mustache on him,
Beeks would have got him. He would have made him.
My man has also, when I saw that blackface, and he didn't even try once he got caught to smear it off. It's just a perfect, like, it's just a perfect.
Dude, it's truly wild. But that said, you know, it is a funny movie.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Lay's. Lay's potato chips are made from real potatoes from real farms, and they're closer than you might think. Golden grows here on over 100 farms across North America. So whenever you open up a bag of Lay's, you can thank your farmers for making your stay golden moments possible. Lay's, stay golden. To learn more, head to goldengrowshere.com.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Whatever you're into, with Amazon Prime, you can go deep. So if you're all about pop right now, you could watch pop documentaries on Prime Video. Discover pop playlists on Amazon Music Prime. And if you're really serious, order a rhyming dictionary with fast free shipping from Prime. From shopping to streaming to saving, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Thunderpants!
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper, and I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. Mmm. So smooth and chewy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah! So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunderpants. That is good. Share a delicious Laffy Taffy moment with the people you love. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
Yeah, why, shall we go? Shall we talk?
Yeah, man, let's from the top. First off, this movie has the longest opening, like, B-roll establishing sequence. By the time, like, at one point I got up, went to the bathroom, was like, oh, this will be quick, let me not miss anything. I come back and it was still going.
Is it?
It went it's on for a, 6:38.
We're not used to it, yeah, man.
It's the 80s, is it? It's no longer than Beverly Hills Cop.
Six minutes and 38 seconds?
It can't possibly be any longer than that. It's so long. They play a whole song.
It might be a tad longer than most, because I think they were like, they had weird credits. Like, Al Franken and Frank Oz were like, it was like, they both got like a shared credit, but I'm like, their parts are so small.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why are they getting, but it's just because it's all these comedy people that they're like giving little parts to.
Yeah.
But I mean,
You know what it is? I know what makes it longer than Beverly Hills Cop. Beverly Hills Cop, oh, I'm thinking of the second one. But I know one of them is super long, but we're following Eddie at least the car. And this one is like, we don't see a main character.
It's all just the city.
Right, yeah.
And then
what's
his name?
And he just walks up
getting
the
ready, the butler.
Yeah.
Right. That's true.
But yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with opening credits. I wish we still did opening credits.
Yeah, and I also would have liked
slow
if
down, man.
They would have shown, because it is nice. It also does, it does a good job of establishing sort of what they're trying to do. But I also wish they would have had a little bit of Eddie in there too. Like, we can actually just see what is his day and what is the start of Dan Aykroyd's day. But yeah, this, they were super long. And he wakes up to breakfast in bed.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was cool because I was like, oh, you know, we get to Dan Aykroyd as he's going to work. And it's so funny because they said it in Philly, but I don't know. Almost everything felt like it was Wall Street, but yeah, whatever.
And so, I really liked his long entrance into that building.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone saying good morning to him.
Yeah.
It's a really nice touch for like where it's about to go. Yeah. Like,
and you see him go to his office, which is super dope. And then we get the what are the brothers' names?
Duke and Duke.
Duke and Duke. The Duke brothers, whatever. And we see like everyone. I mean, the way they wake up is just insane at their mansion. First of the fact that they're two grown ass men, two grown brothers still living together, like getting their jackets put on side by side. Yeah. Everyone's good morning, good morning, good morning. The black guy's driving them, of course. And it's so funny is that I do wish somebody would address. I wish Eddie would have said something about hearing them call him an E word, the N word. They said it with the ER.
Yeah.
That's the only fault I have in this movie, but also I can say this movie wasn't directed by a person of color because there's no way a black person about to just let that slide.
Right.
You know what I mean? They called him the ER. Like,
you mean when he was in the bathroom?
When he was in the bathroom. Like, even when he won at the end, I was like, I feel like he should have had some funny one-liner or something towards them.
Oh, I mean,
about it. Like calling it out.
Yeah, be like, yeah, I just got beat by a nigga from the street. I don't know. I don't know what you would have done, but but anyway. Anyway,
I love that. I love the idea that like he would just focus on them calling him the N word, even though they did all of these other completely messed up,
no, but he's
terrible
already,
psychological warfare.
He's just showing, I know everything you did. You're going to jail, but I ain't forget this shit. It was like, hey, y'all did some bad stuff, but we got y'all for that. But this too, though. This too.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Wait, how did we jump to the end?
No, I don't know.
He
how
was
I got
just
there.
Thinking about the Dukes and how,
got
like,
because they,
like,
you know, when they come out,
but
the
they
office,
ain't get to shit.
But like, yeah, what is their living arrangement? Like, they live
I
together.
I don't.
Like, what's
you know what I mean? They're the Dukes. They keep it in the family.
Brothers. Yeah, the
brothers. Well, I think it is. They keep it in the family, right? Because when they're like all about like Winthrop, you're like, you know, you're with my grandniece. You know, they like make a big deal out of the fact that she's their grandniece for some reason. Like,
so weird. So weird.
Grandniece?
Yeah. It's like, what is that as a, but you know, she's a grandniece.
So weird. Is that a thing? Or,
it would be, right?
Like, I guess so.
Also, honestly, I really gotta say, I really did love Dan Aykroyd's performance, man. He was such an asshole. The thing is, I never liked him at any point in the movie.
No.
Like, it's so funny. It's like, I never had sympathy for him at any point in this
movie. This is skipping Eddie's
You never had sympathy for him?
When I hate him.
I hate to say this, and this is...
You don't like white people.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
when
I have no sympathy for a white man getting taken down a peg.
It's a racist thing.
There is a thing, and it is hard for me, where it's like, a white male in particular, even if it's a white man from the trailer park, a white man from the country, a white man from Beverly Hills, you still have the privilege of living in America as a white man.
Yeah.
So to me, like, every option, everything is still available to you, no matter what your economic situation is, because you have the benefit of not being Mexican, black, or Asian, or Latino. So to me, it's like, when things went bad for him, and my mom was like, he didn't have to turn to a life in crime. He got out of jail. He had an expunged like record. A white woman was trying to help him. You could have did something else. Like, I don't know. And that was very tough to say. I know everyone has problems, but it is hard for me. It is
but
just
a white
hard for me.
Man with problems.
It's hard for me. It is. It's like, I don't know.
The moment when I realized I didn't like him was when, this is skipping Eddie's entrance, but when Eddie bumps into him. And then he just immediately like, no, please.
He's okay, please take it. Take
the
briefcase.
So calm.
Like, I want your briefcase.
He's like, sorry,
man, I don't want this.
And he's smiling the whole time. Hey, man, I don't want your briefcase.
Like, yeah, take it, man. Take I don't it. Want your briefcase.
He's running from the cops, but he's like trying to just like, hey, man, yeah, here you go. Sorry about that. Like, he's helping him.
It bothers me, man.
Police. Oh, I was so mad.
No, he's a terrible person.
Yeah.
Like, someone posted Someone posted a video, and again, we're not a political podcast.
We're not?
Like that. We're not a political podcast.
Oh, okay.
But this someone posted a thing where it was like they showed two cop scenarios. One was a black guy running away from the cop is one of the guys who gets shot in the back and dies. Another one is a white dude on like PCP or something who's in his underwear screaming and trying to stab a cop.
Yeah.
And the cop is putting his gun back in his pocket and running the other direction. And I'm like, you know, I think images like that takes away my sympathy, if that makes sense. And I'm not saying it's justified. I'm not saying it's okay. But it's like, it is just hard for me to sympathize with this plight.
Right. It's like, you know, you're saying that, yes, everybody's different. Everybody has their own struggles. But there have been clear examples of times where black people cannot do the same things that white people can do.
I mean, even if we think about, again, we're not political podcasts, but I mean, you know.
This is not a political podcast.
We're not political, but
this
again.
This is the most political thing I've ever heard.
Again, you know, when I'm thinking about his plight, like, yes, he goes down. My man gets caught with, like, I think in this movie, like PCP, right? If Eddie Wick got caught with marijuana, it would have been, you know, it's just like, it's hard for me, man.
When Dan Aykroyd puts every drug on the planet in his.
Man, that was funny. Okay.
We got to start.
Okay, all right, all right. So
I don't
wait.
Know what's happening.
So after this scene, you know, we're talking. Are they talking about the oranges yet?
I just like there was that scene too where just in the beginning where Dan Aykroyd is like he's like his butler's getting him ready, like, you know, doing like, you know, breakfast in bed for him. There was that scene where he like walks outside and Dan Aykroyd's like waiting by the car for him to open the door. I was just like, what? He literally like stands and he's just like, like looking and waiting for his butler to open the door. And his butler doesn't like him either.
He really doesn't.
Why doesn't he? He's a tool, man. And then also I just like, and then he makes them some money and they're like, Winthrop is great. And then we see Eddie Murphy. And then of course we have the famous scene where he's in the park.
It's fantastic.
Doing like the Stevie Wonder, like, I'm black. And he's
We've been getting a lot of
reports about people pretend. Also, who gives reports about people pretending to be blind? And
if you are a tourist that gets got, you might go to the cops. That's who I think would do it.
This dude is still on the streets. He needs money.
You know what I'm saying? And like, he's just begging.
Nah, he ain't blind, though.
He doing some shit.
But he ain't blind. He's a con man. Sorry, they heard about con.
He's a con man. He's probably like.
He's just a beggar.
I can't remember. We see one of his cons, right? I can't remember.
I remember the scene right before, like when he has the woman's like leg or some shit like that.
Oh my God, that was so scary.
Like, it was so scary.
I was like, I can't be laughing at this.
And he wouldn't let it go.
That's
like,
not
ooh.
Funny.
Like, ooh, this is wild, man. And then like, does he have, what is one of his cons? I feel like we didn't see
one. We see one, right?
I don't remember seeing him actually con.
I mean, we see him lying when he's in prison.
Right.
We see him not be blind and on this. I mean, what do we, like, it's so funny because they like pick him up.
I can see.
And then his legs just fall down.
But he doesn't even say.
I can walk.
Yo, but he doesn't say I can walk
he
first.
He just walks
so
away
funny.
From the cops.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
first
man.
Moses, now this.
And they do not immediately follow him. They just
stare at him. I love it. They just keep looking at him. He's just like, oh my God, thank you. And then he keeps backing up, still looking at them the whole way. All the way down the street. Across the street.
The cops pull up and then he starts
backing the other way.
And then he runs in. That scene with Dan Aykroyd with him being
great.
Scared was so
him running wild. Around, him running around the room. Also, like, I love that he just starts running and he runs inside.
And he runs out of the table.
Running around the table, runs at the table, comes out, and then they all point their guns at
six
his
guns.
Face. What's the
and when the cops come inside?
Hey,
like,
what's
he's
the
like,
problem,
oh,
officer?
Yeah, I need you to get this guy for assault. Like starts naming the charges that Dan Aykroyd needs. And then they drag him off. He's like, okay.
And it's so funny. And he's like, man, I didn't. He's like, I tried to give it back to him. And then it makes me so sad is that the black guy, there's a black doorman.
who just immediately calls
the police. And I'm like, bruh, you see it. And also, as a black guy, you should know how this is going to go down. But I guess he had to take care of his job.
He had to take care of his job. He's been at that door.
Turn a blind eye to stuff. I do love this scene with Eddie in prison, though.
This scene is super funny.
Oh, wait, before then. Before then, that's when the Dukes decide to do the bet.
Yes. One of them is like, it's so gross, but he looks at him and he's just like, man, he had no options. He had no.
And then he asks him, he's like, hey, man, did you come from a broken home? Yeah. Like, yeah, we were broke. So what?
Yeah, man, we were broke. So what? Yeah.
So what? You know, like, did you have all the opportunity? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, if I need to talk to a lawyer. And a lawyer in the house? And this shot was so cool because they see all the white dudes look away and Eddie just like quietly looks at him. And he doesn't say a thing after it either.
I know. And then he's in the prison. I know Bruce Lee. Yeah. Hey, oh yeah.
Juan Carlos Esposito. Yes. Juan Carlos Esposito.
Yo, my man was acting forever.
Yo, Gus has been around, dog.
Dude.
Yo, and he was in there. And it's so funny watching Gus's performance because Gus, you can tell he's an actor too. Because every time, Eddie is doing a thing, first he wasn't on board, but then you see his character in particular like really start digging it. But the other two dudes are clearly just bored at what's happening in the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love driving with Uber because I have access to 24/7 live support, which is really great because I like to drive at night. I like to know I have support in the middle of the night or early in the morning. I can chat with a live agent 24/7. As a female driver, I get it. You need to feel protected. And Uber has our back for sure. Uber, earn like a boss. Sign up to earn today at uber.com/boss.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
What happens? The first thing the dude says is something like, there's like holes in his stomach.
Oh, he came in crying.
He said, you came in crying.
You came in crying.
Yeah, man, they had the tear gas,
they tear gas me, man. And then he's like, if you got in that kind of fight, how come there ain't any marks
on you? Any marks on you?
Because my bruise on the inside, that's how karate works. He said, my bruise on the inside, that's how kung fu works.
Barry White looking ass. The dude stands up.
Okay, let me ask you this question. How much of this do you think was scripted versus like improvised by
Eddie?
None
of this was in the script.
I think it's loosely scripted. I think it's like there's a suggestion, there's a line, and then Eddie just adds 1,000 jokes to it.
Yeah.
So the line was probably like, there was tear gas, you know, Eddie adds a bunch of other stuff to it.
Yeah.
You know? So the line's probably like, nah, like I took him down or whatever, and Eddie's just like, you know. You know, I got bruised on the inside.
That's right. So funny. On the inside.
What does he say? Because martial arts, we keep it on the inside. We bury it inside. That's our method. It's just so like.
Doesn't make any sense.
It's like, what is he talking about? Okay. This is great. And then he makes bail and he's like.
He makes bail because of the bet.
But he's also like, I got my pimps, my ladies. What does he say? Does he say. Where my hoes at, where my bitches at. He says something like that. Yeah. He says one of those things. But then when he makes bail, he's surprised, which is also very funny. And then when he goes out, it's not the butler yet, right?
No, it's the Dukes.
The Dukes.
The Dukes pick him up and they say get in the car, and he was like, no. And they're like, what is this, a joke? You're like, yeah, you're gonna say I robbed the car? And he's like, no, we bailed you out. And then he's like, he's looking at them.
But then they do something real trifling. We got whiskey. And like the racist one holds up like a bottle and just like shakes it.
And he's
like,
just holding it. And then they're like talking about him in the car. They're like, yeah, we're gonna give you a house, a job, all this stuff. And he's like, and then I love this part is so funny because he just slowly goes up to the driver and he's like, hey man, they messing with me. This is fake, right? And he's like, they gay? So they just gonna give me a house. Why? Great talking to you, bro.
I know, right? It's so good.
Great talking to you, brother. It's so funny.
So this is all mine. I love that when he's like talking about, so this is mine, and he's stealing stuff.
Like, you're just stealing from yourself.
Yeah, when he's talking, like putting, like clearly putting, like as if they don't see it. Like, just putting stuff in his pocket. So the TV is mine, the stereo is mine.
Yo. And it's like, I do love that. But then also, Eddie was mad homophobic, like, when he first met the butler. I think he was trying to get, first it was his coat, and then I guess he was
It's like, it is like, I guess, like, I mean, obviously he uses, like, homophobic slurs, but, like, if somebody was like, I'm a... some rich person.
My coat. Yes, this
if
is
some
my coat.
Rich, like, you know what I mean? Like, especially in a time when it wasn't
right,
okay.
If you go into
and there was like a lot of TL stuff
like, trying
happening.
To take off your clothes.
You're just like, oh, look, yo, man, hey, I know problems. The
there is a, yeah, yeah. It's like not, the it's slurs less about, are what make it an issue.
Yeah, it's less about like being afraid and just like being like, yo, I'm not a prostitute, dude. Like, I'm not about to take your money and then you're going to be like, now I have to have, you know.
Yeah, there is a way to do it that like, that will only get to the heart of like being uncomfortable about taking your clothes off in front of a person instead of like.
I mean, they had him naked in a bathtub, a jacuzzi,
just talking to him.
And he was like, all right, would you like me to turn on the bubble? Hey, man. I go jacuzzi, nobody. Like, he said something like that.
Jacuzzi, nobody.
I knew it, man.
Yo, Eddie was so funny, dog. Oh, my goodness.
And then. It was definitely hard. It was hard for me watching them, like, do all this stuff to Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd's...
The
way they stripped stuff from him, like it was him, just so... It was so awful.
Yo, I was like, yo,
was
people got
so
rights.
Awful.
I guess the thing is, like, it was less about him. It was less about, like, feeling bad for that person in particular and more just, like, this system is so messed up. We do have a system where somebody can pay somebody off or, like, they just don't care about you and the police just strip away all of your rights and you can't do anything about it.
Yo, he couldn't do anything.
It was just like, what are you going to do? It was like, he's like, I have rights. It was like, and? And what? Yeah. Yeah, you have rights. You are supposed to get a phone call. You're right. They shouldn't. They're not. They're legally not allowed to threaten your life. They're legally not allowed to like hit you or beat you up or whatever. And guess what? Ain't nothing gonna happen.
And now, if
so, it is kind of like you're gonna. Yeah, you are black.
Only
right now,
PCP was treated that way. Like if drugs were actually treated that way with any and all white people.
Right? Oh,
because the way that when they book him and they're like, what if a kid got a hold of this? And like, they're just like talking about the realities of just loosely having drugs around. And it's like, if only that continued to happen. It's not because
I'm like,
podcast, but.
Where's they treated that for cocaine or something like that?
Yeah.
Listen, man, I'm not saying I agree with everything in the special, but Dave Chappelle talks about that. He talks about, like, I said it on this podcast, the way people treat that opioid crisis versus how we treated the crack epidemic, man. Some shit just don't sit right. It will never sit right with me. Again, I do think I'm very sad that this crisis is happening, but also I'm like, oh, that's a crisis. The other one was an epidemic. Words are different. How do we give a fuck about people? Anyway. This is not a political podcast, so back to saying some funny shit.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, remember when Eddie did that thing? Eddie did the thing.
Don't just say a non-specific.
Eddie did the thing.
Yeah, no, but
they should.
What's
everything.
The first thing? The first thing is they find the drugs. So they're like, get book them.
Well, no. Well, first, isn't it the big thing? I was confused. The first one they get him is like they have everybody in that big room and they change the dollar bills or something like that. And like he has the dollar bill with the X on it.
Right. Yes.
And so then that's how they lock him up.
He took someone's money or something. Something like that. Clarence Beeks is there.
Yeah, he's
like, the money, you know.
I never trusted him because I like The Breakfast Club and I don't like him. I ain't like him since that movie.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But then, yeah, so then when they take him to jail, they look through his pockets and stuff, and then they find
the PCP.
But then he still gets out. How does he get out on bail? His wife bails him out.
His wife bails him out. But she's like, she's already like very embarrassed.
It's been two days.
Look at your clothes. He smells. Which is when she says these things, I'm like, are you an idiot? And also, here's the thing about his life. You realize, like, it was like he surrounded himself with terrible people.
Yeah.
Because none of them actually cared about him.
They only
cared about his status.
Yep. And then one of his boys liked this girl, and she was like, she even said, such and such is telling me we shouldn't get married. And it's like low key, right. Like everybody's been kind of like plotting against him.
Right. And that was like a cool, I liked that even though there's a lot that's problematic about the movie and the mess of the movie, but I liked that it was like, he didn't even realize that people he thought were his friends were not actually his friends. They were friends of convenience, he had money. You know, needed to be associated with him for that reason. But then once he didn't have that, they were done.
They were done. So quickly done. Eddie has the same thing because he throws a party with his quote-unquote friends.
Yeah.
And then he starts to get annoyed because they're trashing his house. And then he's like, what the hell, care about me?
Have you ever heard of a coaster? Like, he's like running around.
Then he's like, who put the cigarette out of my carpet? Like, I thought that was
where's
so
everybody?
Cool.
Where's everybody at? They took the party upstairs. My bedroom?
In my bedroom?
And the woman's naked. He's like, put your clothes on, get downstairs.
Like, damn.
That was so interesting. I'm happy they did that. I thought he was going to be like just cool with it. And I was like, oh, I like that. He was like, no, man, y'all disrespecting my house now. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right. It was also a really smart way to get around the swirl.
Wow. Damn.
Because here's the thing. Because for a joke, they'll do it. When he's getting all the drugs, takes the weed and puts it in his pocket. That's a funny joke.
That was funny.
You know.
And when he was at the club, he was talking to, they didn't send that black woman upstairs. They sent the white woman, and they was like, he was like, no, put your clothes on and get back downstairs. Wow. Damn.
All right. Anyway, so. But we had that stuff that mirrors each other, which is fun.
Damn.
Yeah. All that was cool. Right after Dan Aykroyd gets out, Clarence Beeks pays Jamie Lee Curtis to make out with him and ask for some drugs. And then that makes this, we have gone past this point, but already. But
yeah, yeah.
That's the introduction to Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, yeah. And she stays with him because he is so desperate.
Yeah, and he's like, also, he's like, I'm rich.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. Like, she's like, so I give you $20 and you're going to give me $50? He's like, yeah, my butler will, blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards, yeah, he's so desperate and she feels bad. And then she's like, all right, if you are who you say you are, then I want this. This is a business arrangement. You know what I mean?
Right.
Was it like five figures, which is so crazy. She didn't want six. Five figures for her help. And then another part when she gets naked for no apparent reason, when she goes into the bathroom, she takes off her top and is topless, but then covers herself and goes, my help isn't the only thing that's free in this apartment. And then closes the door.
She said it was rent, something like heat and rent aren't the only things
that cost
that cost money. Yeah.
And closes the door. I was like,
I did like that.
That was good.
I also was like, but she didn't have to get, because my thing is like, they had her get naked. Well, she didn't have to get naked.
It made more sense for her to be naked in that scene than the other one.
I mean,
also 100%. that entire scene, she was wearing a see-through shirt, so it didn't.
Yeah, I was like, you didn't have to be naked. Like,
that entire scene, I was like, that shirt is 100% see-through.
Yeah. Man, Jamie Lee Curtis. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, all I'm saying is
Jamie Lee Curtis. I mean, I'm not going to say anything else. I'm just going to say.
Beautiful. Beautiful, man. Beautiful.
I'm saying True Lies, though. I mean,
I remember True Lies, great. I remember that scene of True Lies.
Now, the young people listening, aren't they may not get it. All right, cool.
Rocking that short hair, too.
Yeah, man. Rocking the short hair. The wig off.
Yeah. And cool. Then after this is when Eddie starts to work for the Duke Brothers. Is this when he goes to...
He's working with them. Right? And all of a sudden, he like has incredible insight on pork belly. He's like, no, see, what's happening is they're getting scared. So they're still selling. But yeah, he's like, yeah. I would say you got to wait until at least $64 to all the suckers.
But all the suckers get out. But what he says, though, when they try to explain to them they're trading a produce goods, was a kind of an interesting breakdown. And he goes, oh, you guys are nothing but...
Bookies.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, y'all just bookies.
1,000%.
Yes.
And that's why he
Wall Street is legalized gambling.
So quickly.
That's all it is. And the thing is, like, trading...
Day trading is gambling.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with investing.
No.
Yeah.
But you know what?
And here's the thing. The only way people can actually make money from day trading is by doing the illegal insider trading. There's no way for you to be smart enough to understand how that stuff goes up and down all the time and actually consistently make money from it.
Right.
It's a farce. Mm-hmm. It is all done illegally. Or our country doesn't care about it. Nope. Because the people who...
Sure don't.
Have all the money, run our country. But so that's how it goes. This is not a political podcast. Anyway, so he's doing well, and then he starts. But he sees him in the car.
Yes,
and then
so good. Can you imagine?
That's my
of course
car.
Not.
But that's my tie. He's wearing my tie.
He has his clothes on. He's in his car. His butler's driving
can
the
you
car.
Believe? He went to Harvard.
Yo, Dan
he's
Aykroyd.
So racist. And like Dan Aykroyd also is racist this whole time.
His character doesn't really change.
When he wakes up and he calls him an awful Negro, this awful Negro.
Oh, I'm gonna kill you. And it immediately goes to kill him, dog. My thing is, fuck him in this. Yo, even when they come up with a plan together and they're walking into the Wall Street building or whatever, and he's, I guess, coaching and pumping up Eddie Murphy. And he's saying all this stuff to Eddie. He's like, yeah, gotta kill him or something like that. And he's like, oh, that's too much. I'm like, man, fuck this dude.
Yeah, he doesn't learn anything.
Yeah, it's like, man, he's not learning nothing.
He's not like, oh my God, our system is broken and terrible.
No.
I will say, when he gets out of the police station, he does say, if that's the way they treat people, you might as well let all the convicts out. He does say something like that, which I was like, damn, that's actually pretty radical.
Yeah.
He does say that, so that was cool.
I mean, also, this is my thing. Shitty-ass Green Book could have been like this.
Wow.
Just hear me out.
Wow.
Because we all know Green Book is a piece of shit
thing
movie.
I didn't expect to have.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about a piece of shit movie.
Green Book.
Well, hear me out. Green Book is another black and white comedy thing, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They got to work together. But in Green Book, the white dude's like, let me teach the black dude about being black. And like, yes, I know how the system really works. And I was racist, but now I'm not racist. At least in this movie, Dan Aykroyd starts as a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then learns how to work with a black guy. Doesn't call him his friend. Because let's be honest. If you didn't think he was nothing but a dirty Negro in the first place, you're probably not going to change your mind if you're a rich white dude who lost all your money. Mm-hmm. And you're blaming it on the dirty Negro, but not the two white guys who took your money away. Mm-hmm. So at least this movie is more authentic, where it's like, hey, I didn't like black people at the beginning. I'm gonna dress up in blackface because I think that's a way to camouflage myself and not be seen because no one cares about black people still. And even when I end this movie, I'm not gonna befriend the black dude because you know what? Even though I need him, I'm not gonna sit here and say I believe he's a person because I didn't believe that at the beginning. So give me an honest movie.
They do go to the where do they go?
Wow. Wait,
the Bahamas or something, and they're like, looking good, Mr. Whatever their
they ain't
last
friends.
Name is.
They ain't friends. They don't high five. They don't high five in this movie.
But they cheers across the lake.
I don't know if I
read, the water.
I don't know if I'm the saying. Intention of this movie was doing what you're trying to say.
Just saying.
All right.
This is my point of view.
Okay. Thank you.
The thing about Green Book is Dr. Shabazz hadn't had fried chicken before.
Okay. So then what else we got? I mean, what other scenes? We got him standing in the rain.
Yes. This scene is so funny to me.
Oh, yeah.
He's just in a fur coat.
Standing in the, just drenched, pouring
rain. Standing directly next to this.
I do like that he doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything.
No one says
No one looks at him. And he just stares the whole time. There are moments where you think
the Dukes kind of know that he's there, but they don't really
acknowledge him in any way. In any way. That movie's great. I love when he comes in.
They were able to do that.
It reminds me of that sequence in Ghostbusters when Lewis runs up to the thing and he's trying to bang on the doors because the monster's in his apartment and they look at him. And then the dog gets him, and then they just go back to eating. Yo, rich people don't give a fuck about nothing else. It's, I don't know why.
They care about their time.
That's right. That's true.
Rich people care about their time. That's how I was always asked to speak to a manager if anything's delayed.
Time is money.
That shit is real. Yeah,
that's true.
And it was cool. I love, like, I'm going to just skip ahead a little bit. I love, you know, when he comes up with his plan to put drugs in Eddie's desk when he's dressed up as Santa. Like, I thought that part was so funny.
When he,
like, it got red ones, it got orange ones, you know.
It's a crack needle. What is it called? Yeah.
A drug needle.
A cocaine grinder.
It was great. Then they had Eddie calls the cops.
Yo, he puts the he puts.
Yo, man,
the
when
he was
put all that food,
pocket,
when he was put all that food in his pocket, I was just like, "What are you doing? You're gonna eat that?"
But also, yeah. Also, he was.
He didn't have anything else. You would put steak in your pocket, too.
Why did you get the dirtiest Santa suit? Why did Santa suit so dirty, though?
The only one he could get.
Yo, he sold that watch for $50.
That suit was so nasty, dude.
This thing tells time in Grenada, the Bahamas, at the same time. Well, in Philly, it's worth $50.
Oh, so good.
This thing's so hot, it's burning my fingers.
Oh, and then once
for the pistol.
Once they kick him out, Eddie goes to the bathroom and hears them call him the N-word and say they're gonna throw him back to the ghetto.
Yes.
Yes.
Then he goes, which is so interesting because I don't know. Growing up in a certain area is like when I've had friends who aren't just white, but maybe like some of my friends who may be Latino, but from not from like a project area, will say something's ghetto. And I remember like, especially when I was in college and when I was a young adult in New York at MTV, I was like, it used to just set me off.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh man, this cup is broke. It's a hole in it. This is so ghetto. And I think the reason I had that problem is because almost what this scene is saying, it's like, we're just throw him back to the ghetto. Mm-hmm. Like the ghetto is always referred to something that is like poor, impoverished, something that like people have no money, where in fact a ghetto is literally by definition not that.
Right.
A ghetto is just like the urban area of a city. You know what I'm saying? It's not this place that is poor, that is filled with black people, yada yada yada. There are white people who live in ghettos as well. And so hearing them say that just was a trigger to me being like, man, fuck these dudes. But also it's like, this is what people say.
Yeah.
This is how people refer to us. This is when people say like, oh man, you got tape on your phone's so ghetto. I'm like, what does that mean exactly? You know what I mean? What does that actually mean to you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Ah, Eddie.
Yeah. And so then we have then Eddie finds out.
We learn that it's a dollar. That's when we also learn that it's a dollar.
That's when we learn it's a dollar. He goes, they find Dan Aykroyd. They bring him back to the place. They get him like checked up with the doctor. He wakes up. Oh, it's all a dream. We set the scene already when he chokes him out.
Right.
And then they're like, no, they've been doing this, you know, and Eddie's the one who comes up with the
Eddie
plan.
Eddie does the plan. Eddie
He's
has
like,
the plan.
What we have to do is take away their money. Like, and the butler's like, it worked pretty well for you.
Yeah.
He's like, just take away their money. So they figure out the thing with Beak.
Yeah. Oh. Clarence Beaks.
Beaks.
Yeah. Because Eddie also realizes that he just made a check for like 10 grand.
Yeah, right. And they were doing some insider
Jamie
training.
Jamie recognizes him on the TV. And so then they know that they have to get the numbers for the orange projection. The projection of the orange numbers.
I also love that everything they were doing, like, all had to deal with like agricultural stuff, which I was just like, what?
It was so funny.
Yeah, the price of like freaking beet, like pork belly, is going up. It's trading at $70 a share. Is that what? If I go online, is that
back,
what?
Back in the day, that's because what it was. We didn't have like, I mean,
those were considered blue chips.
Yeah, because it was a thing you always needed. But now, of course, we got so much technology. It's like, we're gonna need.
I also love that they do the drop themselves. Like, they do the drop?
Yeah, yeah.
They do the money drop?
Yeah, that's all they got. All they got is them. They don't got nobody else.
No.
Don't got nobody else.
Sorry, wait. But then we skipped the train scene.
The trains, I mean, Jim Belushi, first of all.
Yo, Jim Belushi. And this, his voice is so distinctive. Like, the moment, hey, where's she going? Is that your father? Like...
And then just the string of them coming in all in their costumes.
What is this train?
It's so
also,
dumb
it's Christmas.
Silly.
It's not Halloween.
It's not Halloween. I almost got confused. I'm like, what is happening?
It's so dumb and silly. There's a costume party happening for some reason, but then they come in and they're supposed to actually be who they are, right? Like, they're not.
I guess they're supposed to be costume or not. I couldn't tell.
But also, they were like playing their characters.
Why is a gorilla on the train? Like, why is it just a gorilla?
They're transporting the gorilla. Hey, no, this made sense. They're transporting the gorilla. Don't question this gorilla. They're transporting it to the docks so that I can then go on a ship, you know, to Africa.
This was so SNL-y. Yeah. This whole sequence, I was just like, wow, it's just a bunch of SNL people being like, this is funny. And it's like, cool.
Yo, at what point?
It'd
be
funny if we play these two train characters who are dumb? Not, who are like acting like they're stoned. They're just dumb? Like, what are they?
At what point the gorilla literally reaches in between the two of them and takes the whole thing of bananas? He reaches between the two.
We gotta get some better food. I don't know why they kept showing these dudes.
No, let's get the pretzels from the cart, the whatever train. Anyway, so they get the money. The gorilla knocks them out. They go to Wall Street. Because they needed the money to invest.
They basically knew what the trends were going to be, because they had the secrets also, right? They had the money and the
I should have gotten the suitcase
and the secrets.
Gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha.
And so basically, like, did they give phony? Like, why were some people also off? Right, like some people didn't.
Well, because they gave him because they swapped suitcases. I think they gave him
So they had fake ones. Everyone's betting on the wrong thing, and they're like, no, we know it.
Yeah. Which was cool. I mean, I love Eddie and them winning off in the end. You know what I mean? Not to just skip, but it's like,
no, this is the end.
It was just a cool way to end it. And I guess this is my thing. I don't care what happened to Dan Aykroyd's character, but I do love that Jamie Lee Curtis and Eddie Murphy ended up rich and in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I do. Like, I just loved it. Like,
it's cool.
They just ended up rich. You know what I mean? Don't worry, someone's gonna remake this movie soon. So,
yeah,
that's the trend of Hollywood. Someone's gonna redo it or do Trading Places.
Could be really good.
It could be.
Could be really, really good.
It could be.
We're gonna say? We're just skipping all the other stuff. All right, that's fine.
Oh no,
isn't that everything?
I mean, that is everything.
I just want to talk to Hollywood real quick because actually, you know what, John made me sad, man. I didn't even think about that swirl situation that could have happened. I don't even know what to say, man. Like, what?
You're right.
What? I get it, man. Hollywood, whatever. I'm over it. I ain't got
it. Damn.
Yeah. It's like, you know
and
what
you
it
know
is?
What? And you know what? All it's I got to just... say, you know, all I got to say is Hancock.
Wait, what?
Wow.
That's not at all what to say. Which
All I have to say.
Stop why did the pause come so long? All right. It's time for the cause.
Yo, what was that?
All right.
Goodness.
We rate and review films not based on how much we like them.
Okay. Yep.
We review them based on whether they help the cause.
Why are you dancing?
Of more leading black actors in Hollywood.
Yes.
If they help the cause fully, we give it a black fist.
Right.
If they help the cause somewhat, we give it a white palm.
Meh.
If we don't think it helped the cause at all, we don't give it nothing. We don't give it nothing.
We don't give it nothing.
So, the category We're gonna raise up our ratings. Ready? One, two, three.
All right, three black fists.
I got three black fists.
James, why do you keep dancing? What is happening?
I'm excited.
I don't know if it should have got three black fists, but it did.
Wow.
I know. I feel like
is
I wanted to give it a
because of the potential, like the race? When you really think about race.
It was the race, the homophobia, and then also John Landis.
Okay, all right.
There's a lot of problematic elements to it.
The chances of there being problematic elements in an 80s movie are mad high.
Are very high in this movie.
But then would that mean that no 80s movies would help the cause unless they are not problematic at all? Well, but I mean, that is fair. I mean, all of that stuff is...
The reason I gave it a fist is because of Eddie Murphy, obviously, and this was before Beverly Hills Cop, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I think it kind of led to it because it was like it did really well and he was awesome. I think he was still on SNL at the time, but you know, I mean that's really the only reason, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
yeah. That's why I gave it a.
I gave it a fist because honestly, what it did for Eddie Murphy is like this was just another thing on the line of like greatness. Like 48 hours, then this movie, then another 48 hours. Like it's just. I mean, I don't know. It's just like he just was on a roll, and like for a black dude at that point, this helped him achieve something that no black person had achieved in Hollywood, period, which was bankability. And like that helped lead the way to me what he did, especially when it came to Beverly Hills Cop, leading up to that, is like he made it so that a black person could lead a movie and be charismatic, could be funny, could still be seen as a person who can be serious when it comes to fighting. And that helped Will to me, like that helped Will, which then helped Martin, which then helped, you know what I mean? I think this is just the start of the lineage of everything. So, yeah.
Makes sense?
No, I basically just agreed with everything y'all said. And not knowing that anecdote that it was originally supposed to be Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, and the fact that, like, you know, people were like, you got to just watch Eddie in 48 hours. Like, the fact that that is what got him there is fantastic. So, yeah.
I think it's great.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for listening.
Oh, yeah.
Please go to @BlackManPodcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. BlackManPodcast.com is our website where you can find links to our merch, links to our Patreon where we review two bonus episodes every month. This month, we're definitely going to be reviewing that It. Chapter two, baby.
What
else? Oh, if you rate and review us on iTunes, give us 5 stars. We'll read your reviews on the air. This one is from Auk Mitch. Stay listening. I was at the live show for Hancock in Manhattan a few years back.
Uh-oh. Wow.
And since, we'll tune in each week to catch a new episode. Love the podcast and hope you three keep it going. Also, I like the Hancock bit, James III.
Thank you.
Does every episode... Oh, sorry. I like the Hancock bit. James III does every episode, but Hancock whack.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
Wow.
Here's another review. Black men can't jump.
That hurts.
Without this podcast. This is from S Walks at 2012. I found this podcast about 2 months ago and instantly fell in love with it. As a black actor in Texas, I completely relate to a lot of the topics that you all bring up on the podcast. Cheers to you guys, and I hope you keep getting work in the acting world. Oh, thank you. Do you have any tips for a guy trying to break in? Thank you all. Keep up the real talks and funny times. Also, a Patreon subscriber, y'all need to do Get Rich or Die Trying if you haven't.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Interesting.
Tips? I mean, I would say, I mean, the real tip is, yeah, you got to make your own work now. That's what it is, really.
Facts.
Find a community. You know.
Takes a village.
You know, do everything you can. Keep it going. Keep moving up. Keep leveling up, you know?
You got to stay positive. I feel like that was the hardest part of everything. It's just like, oh, man, I want to quit. This sucks. Everyone else is making it. I think that's the thing.
Yeah, man. All right. You can follow me at John Braylock. JohnBraylock.com is the website.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD.
Ugh. Stop. You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
And I don't know what we're reviewing next week.
No one knows.
I don't know at all.
I mean, Get Rich or Die Trying will be interesting.
When does this episode come out?
In the future.
I'm doing a show on Monday the 30th at UCB at 11 p.m. Is that correct?
Oh, what show are you doing?
The 30th? Oh, okay, yeah.
Is that correct? I'm just going to say that.
I think this comes out the 9th, I want to say.
Yeah, okay. Monday the 30th at UCB, 11 p.m. Late Fees is back.
All right.
I didn't get to promote it last time.
No, good job. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!